Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Tuesday night here in Lansing, 6:09 p.m. Welcome to the program. I am Michael Cohen. On today's show, forget Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Lansing. It's now evolved into Occupy Our Homes, as a Michigan couple facing eviction says it's not going anywhere and is now demonstrating against the process that led to the likely loss of their home. They'll join me later this hour to tell me how they ended up in this situation, when the tens of thousands of Michigan families are now in. And bills passed passing a House committee today may soon mean that public employers won't be able to work with political action committees like the MEA to collect contributions. I'll get both sides of this long-standing and contentious issue. But first, Governor Snyder today signing Michigan's anti-bullying bill into law. It's called Matt's Safe School Law, after Matt Epling, an East Lansing high school student who committed suicide in 2002 after being bullied. And Matt's father, Kevin Epling, joins me now. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Good evening, Michael. How are you doing?
Very good. Now, I know you were with the governor at the signature today. Did he say anything to you during the ceremony?
Well, you know, we had a nice talk with the governor before we went into the signing, and, you know, we both had things to say to the media. You know, this is a step in the right direction, you know, for Michigan schools. It may not have everything that's needed, but the positive is for the very first time we're going to require every school have a policy. And this also is a tool now for parents, really, and students to go back to their school and actually ask them, you know, what is our policy? What are we going to be doing about this particular issue?
Well, as you know, some Democratic lawmakers have made it clear they feel the law fell far short of its anti-bullying goal. State Senator Glenn Anderson saying, quote, it's as close to doing nothing as you could possibly do. Why was there resistance to doing more with this bill?
Well, I think, you know, I've worked with Glenn for a very long time on this bill. I mean, he's the one who actually brought me in, and then we got it called Matt's Safe School Law. And I respect Glenn tremendously. I think when you look at it in terms of does it do everything? No. Is it completely worthless? I don't think so either, because the first time we're talking about the schools have to have reporting lines. They have to have a designated person who is in charge of the anti-bullying, what's going on in their school. They have to have a policy. They have to turn it into the state board. There are things. Should it be stronger like some other states? Absolutely. I have used my voice as much as I possibly can, as many times as I can, but I don't have a vote. You know, it's still up to our lawmakers to make that decision.
Now, from what I understand, only, 25% of school districts in Michigan now have anti-bullying rules?
Well, here's the thing. We really don't know, you know, who has a policy and who doesn't have a policy, because years ago we tried to get some policies from different school districts, and we would have to file FOIA returns to get those policies because we weren't living in those school districts. So here in this passage of the law today, which takes immediate effect, so schools have 6 months from today to craft their policies, and then they have 30 days to turn them into the State Board of Ed. For the very first time, we will actually be able to see all the policies across the state of Michigan of who is doing what in their school, and that's going to be extremely beneficial.
I'm talking to Kevin Epling. He's the father of Matt Epling, the East Lansing High School student who committed suicide in 2002 after being bullied, and who the new anti-bullying law is named after, which is Matt's Safe School Law. Now, Kevin, we saw this exception for bullies who have, quote, a sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction removed in the final bill. It drew a lot of national media attention. Do you think a significant number of lawmakers view that type of exception as legitimate and went along with the removal due to the media attention?
Well, I think they definitely took that out because of the adverse media attention. It wasn't just the media. I mean, it was clergy, it was parents, it was actually students. Fifth graders in a news report in Florida could see right through that. And I think that was one of those issues that kind of just got thrown in there, and they thought just because they had the ability to get it passed that way, they thought they could and nobody would say anything. And actually, it was a great civics lesson on what the bullying dynamic is. Just because you have power and control doesn't mean you get to exert it. You know, somebody and the bystanders stood up and said, no, we're not going to do that. And that was taken out for the betterment of the law. So So it was actually a very good and real-life example of what bullying is. But it's gone now, and it should have never been in there. And for years, we were told there can be no special exemptions, and the very first thing the Republicans did was try to put in a special exemption. So we don't have that in this version of law, and, you know, we just kind of make sure, here you go, you have 6 months from today to craft a policy. And there's a model policy for schools to actually follow if they would like to.
Well, that's really where I'm heading, in the sense that there's no definition of what school districts should be doing. So I wonder, when it comes to an effective anti-bullying policy, what would you say are the really key parts that should be included in such a policy when school districts are putting them together?
Well, I mean, there's a small definition, because I've even been at the national conference level where people cannot decide on a definition. Schools need to have really kind of their own definition of how something is going to work within their own school district, within their own schools, and what they can manage. Put that into practice and put that into the policy. They have to have education for both teachers, staff, and students, and parents about what bullying is, what bullying isn't. You know, what are going to be the repercussions for actions of bullying? You know, what's going to be kind of that bullying rubric, if you will, of consequence? And then also, what's going to be a reporting mechanism? That's one of the things that we've got in this, is that parents have to be notified as soon as something happens. Schools have to investigate, you know, what has happened and what's transpired, and then they actually have to report that to their school board. So they have to figure out their reporting lines. They have to figure out, you know, what they're going to do for the repercussions. And I think it's an awesome tool for parents, actually, to go in and start asking a lot of questions of their school. Over the last couple of years, parents have gotten, well, you know, we deal with it. But what does that mean? Schools are really going to have to come up and say, this is how we deal with this particular instance.
When you look back to 2002, to the time your son was being bullied, have things already dramatically changed in most schools, or is bullying still a major problem? We certainly hear a lot about it, so are school districts generally aware of it and addressing it on some level?
Well, I think there are some schools that are doing phenomenal things, and I've talked with several of them here in Michigan that have Hero in the Hallway program or Peace Patrol teams, you know, from middle school to high school levels, and they're being very active, you know, on this. That everybody knows that this is the issue. This is the number one issue in schools right now, below funding. Any school who's not paying attention to this isn't paying attention to the overall well-being of their school, because if you tackle the issue of bullying, we're never going to end it, but you can reduce it quite a bit. You know, you will get better classroom attendance, you will get drop-in truancy, you will get better test scores, you know, you'll get better grades. So, you know, when our legislator years ago was asking our schools to meet certain criteria, this really should have been the starting block, is you have to deal with this issue before you can get to the other issues. And I think schools in Michigan are doing a great job, but there are still some that are holdouts that still have no policy, or they just have a zero tolerance policy with no explanation of what zero tolerance is.
When it comes to actually stopping a bully from bullying repeatedly, once it's been established that it's happening, is there any kind of process that schools are doing that you find most effective in halting that type of behavior?
Well, some of the schools have gone to a program called Restorative Justice, which is another program. It's a little bit beyond peer mediation. Peer mediation, you know, has really found not to be very beneficial in bullying instances of putting the bully and the victim together and having peers hash it out. You have to have some type of adult, you know, supervising what's going on. And restorative justice isn't really about punishing the bully. It is really making them to be restorative to the person that they hurt. So I think that's part of the education process, is we have to reach out to the bullies as well as the victims, to make the bullies understand that this isn't something you want to do. Most bullies, you know, will go on to drop into the criminal justice system if something isn't done, you know, to help them. So, you know, we want to educate both sides of the equation, and I think, you know, some schools are doing, you know, what is best for them, and that's one of the things that's set up in this policy, is we want to make sure that schools are doing what is right for them.
Should ultimately schools, though, kick bullies out of school if it's a repeated pattern?
Well, I think each school district has to look at that. If that's a repeated pattern and you have tried, you know, different things, and maybe you have tried outside counseling and they are just, you know, if they become a safety issue to that school district, then certainly that school district has to look at it in terms of the overall safety, not just the one or two, you know, students that the bully may be interfering with. So then you have to take it to a totally different level if this is now a safety issue for the entire school. So in that regard, yes, they should. But for minor things, I think it would be much better if schools started looking at how do we have that student help and during the school day and not just give them a day off. And I think some of the things we've done in the past of punishment, of giving kids, you know, at-home suspension for 2 days, well, that's just 2 days of free time. Let's give them something to do after school.
Kevin Epling, the father of Matt Epling, he was an East Lansing High School student who committed suicide in 2002 after being bullied, whose name is now attached to our new anti-bullying law, Matt's Safe School Law. Kevin, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so very much. And just for your listeners, parents, you know, schools have 6 months from today to develop a policy, so it's up to the parents to help on the implementation side, and to go ask the schools, what are they going to do?
And we'll certainly see where we go from there. Again, Kevin, thanks for joining me, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.